Did you see this story about John Krasinski? His next movie is going to be a mini Office reunion because Steve Carell is going to star in it with him.
I saw that, but then I saw that there's some other big name people in there, right? So it's not just like him and Steve Carell are doing something.
No, it's also Ryan Reynolds. The movie's going to be called If, and it's not coming out till next year. But here's the thing. It's like, I am such a huge Office fan. Mm-hmm. I loved The Office. I loved Steve Carell as Michael Scott. It's like one of my favorite, most iconic characters of all time. You put those two in a movie together, there's no doubt that I'm going to be disappointed because it's not going to be The Office. Like, you know, it's not going to be anything about it. I'm looking at the plot of this movie. It's an original story from John about a child's journey to rediscover their imagination. Like, Michael Scott's not showing up for that movie, you know?
Well, no, I mean, I think he's probably going to be a responsible dad, or I can see him as some sort of psychiatrist or something like that. Almost a godlike figure in that regard. Definitely not Michael Scottish.
Don't you think it's weird when, like, you have iconic characters like that and then they do different projects together, but you just want them to be their old characters?
Yeah. It's one of the biggest thing with anybody that plays James Bond. They always say is that, you know, after that, I had a regular career going before. I was able to pick and choose projects. Did they pay me as much? No. Was I as big of a star? No. Did I have more freedom? 100% yes. And that's why a lot of them try and get out sooner rather than others, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're always going to look at Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter. It doesn't matter how old the guy gets.
I think the only person that really came out of this was Ed O'Neill. I feel like Ed O'Neill was Al Bundy, and you could not convince me he was anybody else. And he was like MIA, I feel like, for a billion years. And then all of a sudden, Modern Family came out, and he was able not to be Al Bundy. And sometimes I watch Modern Family, and I still call him Al Bundy.
I never watched Modern Family. If I run into him to the airport, I want to hear about his touchdown in that high school game.
Yeah.
He's always going to be Al Bundy to me.
Mm-hmm. Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
It's three news stories that were trending this past week, but you only get to hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is. Ready, Raven?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, headlines. Toddler accidentally purchases nearly $2,000 worth of items from Walmart.
Oh, we've seen this before.
A Michigan woman is arming her students with hockey pucks.
Okay.
And a grandma outsmarts scammer by luring her to her house for cops.
Oh, I love that. You know what? Let's go with the grandma there. I've heard kind of the rest.
Okay, so I love this. It's, you know, the grandma scam, or I should say the grandparent scam, it backfired in a big way on a scammer. It all started out when 73-year-old grandma in Seaford got one of those scam calls. Here she is explaining what the caller said.
He said, I'm in jail. They say I was under the influence.
Oh, yeah, I've had that one before, right, where they call up and they go, we've got your kid, and, you know, if you pay $2,000 right now by credit card or whatever, we'll let him go.
Yeah, here's the thing. She knows that all her grandchildren aren't old enough to drive. So how would her underage grandchildren, who are young, be driving drunk, and why would this person be calling? But she also was a former 911 dispatcher, so she ain't messing around. She knows what's going on. She knows it's one of these scams. So what does she do? She lures the people there. She says, oh my gosh, she plays along. She does the whole thing. Mm-hmm. She wraps up $8,000, FYI, she really just took paper towels and put it in an envelope, and she waited for the people to come. But side note, she also called the police. So the police were at her house waiting for these scammers to show up to collect the $8,000. And here's what the police had to say.
She's not afraid of these guys. You know, she knows what she had to do. What we're asking the public to do, speak to your families, speak to your neighbors, visit those that are vulnerable. Let them know. Don't listen to these scams.
I mean, I would just guess where that cop is from, right?
Not for nothing. But when the scammer showed up at the door and they have the whole thing on the Ring camera, which is the best. If, you know, to watch this video is the best. The scammer comes to the door. She's on the phone still with a different scammer because it's like a team that's working it.
Of course.
She hands them the fake paper towels, a.k.a. the $8,000. The cops come out. They tackle this guy to the ground. Mm-hmm. They literally take him down in the grass, like rolling around with him. And then she stands on the porch with her hip leaning against the side of the house on the phone with the other scammer and says this.
Anybody want to talk to the guy on the phone?
It was entertaining. I didn't think it was really going to happen. I thought the guy would catch me in a lie. Obviously, I was pretty good because he believed me.
I love it. Two things going on here. She doesn't block the Ring camera. And number two, she twists the knife. She twists the knife. She's like, I'm good at this. You guys got any other stings you want me to run with you guys over the next few weeks?
Hey, you guys need any extra help? I'm available. I got plenty of time over here.
I love it.
But on a serious note, the FBI says that people over 60 years old lost a combined, get ready for this, Raven, $1 billion to scammers in 2020. And they think that since 2020, that figure has tripled because so many people have been home and like they pry on the elderly. And
sure.
It's really terrible.
Yeah, you know, especially if your grandparents aren't on Facebook or if they were from time to time, these people can glean some very useful information when they're talking to them. So remind your grandparents if something doesn't sound right, hey, call me. Let's
yes.
talk about it. Don't make any moves here before because it's kind of happened to a lot of us. So good for her, though. Good job.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Everybody is bothered by something. What's that thing that drives you nuts? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you use my disability to sell your dumb pumpkin seeds, that's all I need to know about you.
What are you talking about here? Wait a minute. I mean, first off, you have an injury and you're recovering from surgery, so I wouldn't call it a disability, but what happened?
Right now, I can't really walk well, so I had a knee surgery, and I don't get to go out much. So when I do get to go out, it's a very big deal. So I was very excited, and I told my husband I wanted to go to Costco, which is a big outing.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
It is a big outing, right?
Yep.
And you know what? When you haven't been anywhere, Costco is like the adult, toy store. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And considering I must have spent more than 10 minutes on my feet at a time, it was probably too much. But anyway, I was like I was in Disney World walking through Costco with all the lights and being out of my house. Now, I 100% like the sample people. The sample people are your friends. You want to try all the samples. But this guy was pushing his pumpkin seeds. He had pumpkin seeds to sell samples. And he was like, he offered them to me. And I said, no, thank you. I'm on my crutches and I'm hobbling.
Sure.
Because I knew it would be very difficult to eat the little pumpkin seeds with both my crutches on my arms. And he looked at me. He goes, well, studies show that it will help broken legs. And I was like,
you know what? Come on, man.
How dare you?
And what study?
How dare you? These pumpkin seeds are not going to help my legs. And don't get me wrong. I already had bought the Belgian waffles from the other person down who was selling those and samples. Yeah, some energy drink. I have a whole fridge full of that right now. Get out of here.
He got himself out of the deal there. If he had just, stayed pleasant, he might have had a better shot is what you're saying.
Or had something that wasn't so hard to eat with two crutches. How am I going to eat those pumpkin seeds?
If you're the person that is 10 car lengths behind me every time we're going up a hill, but every time we come down a hill, you're 8 inches from my bumper at 4 a.m. in the morning. That's all I need to know about you. What is going on with people on the highway? Like, listen, the rest of the highway is deserted. If you want to get going that fast when you're coming down a big hill, just pass me, bro. Just go around me.
No, don't try to explain it. Just try to understand it. Just accept it and move on with your life, because otherwise you'll forget it.
Oh, man.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Okay, if you use the floor of your car as a trash can, that's all I need to know about you.
My car gets a little bit messy, too, but, I mean, there's only so far you can go before it's disgusting. Do you ever look into a car that's super dirty, that's got garbage everywhere? It's nasty.
Yeah, I don't understand how people function like that. When you see it up to the windows, there could be a fast food bag or two crumpled up on the floor of my car for a day or two. I'm with you on that. But for the most part, trash in the car really, really bothers me.
It does. And I don't like when things get sticky. Like when you spill your coffee soda, like the residue, like, oh, gosh, go get the Windex. I can't live like this.
That's that just in the car. Like, I can't touch a counter and have it be dirty or anything like that. I got a thing about texture. Nope.
But I do have kids and they destroy the back seat. And so every once in a while, I'll look back there and have a nervous breakdown. And then, it's like all hands on deck. We got to clean the back seat before mommy has a heart attack.
Find a tuna fish sandwich from a week ago. Nice.
Oh, gosh. Big changes are coming to the SATs. And not for nothing, Raven, but when I heard this, there was a twinge of jealousy. As if 16-year-old Anna would have been really relieved if I would have had these changes. So here are the changes that are coming to the SATs to make them easier.
As of 2024, students will only take the standardized test on laptops or tablets at testing centers. The test will be shorter, 2 hours instead of 3. Reading passages will reflect a wider range of topics to make the test more culturally relevant. On the math section, calculators will be allowed.
Now, what? Let me understand this. Right. So, right. Calculators are going to be allowed. It's going to be shorter and it's going to be cultural, which is good. It'll be stories that people can relate to.
Yes.
But that says 2024. So right now, this year, when it's gone all digital already, that sounds crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, people can hack into my email and my bank account. What makes you think that anybody couldn't do this?
At the end of the day, like, I get it. It's the future and all these things have to change. And the SATs are terrible. So it's about time they made some adjustments on them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that would have been helpful when I really wanted to go to NYU. It would have been real helpful.
Yeah.
But I was like, what does this do for number two pencils and Scantron sheets? Like, they basically just go out of business at this point, right?
Well, that's it. Right now, you've got somebody at home that's, you know, they're thinking about their pension from their long career at the number two pencil place. And they know that this thing is over. Right? This thing is over at this point.
Ticonderoga? Was that the name of the number two pencil? That was it was like the captain pencil. If
I believe
you had the Ticonderoga, that was the one.
I believe
Raven, let's play. You're taking your SATs. These are four of the most common words you will see on your SATs. Let's see if you can use them correctly in a sentence
and
define them.
All right. I mean, I guess that's better than spelling, but okay. I'm ready. Go ahead.
Abysmal.
Abysmal. Let's see here. I wanted everybody to come over for my big playoff party this weekend, but it turns out that my living room furniture and the viewing of my television is just abysmal. Nobody would want to sit there to watch the game.
That is correct. Extremely bad.
Thank you very much.
I got an abysmal grade on my SATs, which is why I didn't get to go to Fordham. Number two. Dubious.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying this right?
Yeah.
Dubious.
Dubious. Gosh, okay. I feel like I knew this one at one point. All right. So the excuse that they had given me for not showing up at my house on time for the playoff party was dubious at best. I mean, I thought that it seemed suspect. If you didn't want to show up with the nachos, just say so, buddy.
Good. Actually, I would also say correct. Dubious is doubtful, questionable. I hope I'm saying it right. Yes,
Whoa!
Dubious.
Oh, look at me go. Two for two.
Foment.
Oh, my God.
Foment.
Foment. Okay.
Foment.
Right. All right. Foment.
Hurry up, Raven.
All right. The game started at 3. If you know you weren't going to show up till 4 meant, you could have told me, man.
Yes. Well, foment, no.
No.
No, it means to stir up. So I guess the stir up problems they foment. All right.
No.
But here's my favorite one.
Yeah.
My favorite one is locomotion. Locomotion is a real word.
Everybody's
doing a brand new. Do you know what locomotion means? Come on, baby.
It means movement, right? Locomotion means movement, active movement or something.
I just thought it was an old-time song that we used to do at weddings in 1993.
No.
Wow.
No, my sister can do it with ease, but right. Good luck on your SATs.
American Airlines broke hearts last year when they announced this.
Don't expect to buy any booze on American Airlines flights until next year at the earliest. The airline says the suspension of alcohol sales and flights is to cut down on aggressive and violent passengers.
Oh, that was a sad, sad day. But if you've ever been on a flight where somebody's misbehaving or whatever, you're like, all right, I guess I can live with that.
Well, it is. It's scary. Like, when you're just trying to get somewhere and you're like, there's somebody threatening. I mean, you're stuck, like you said, in a tube with somebody in the air. Like, mm-hmm. You want everybody to just behave, sit down and be quiet, watch TV.
Yeah, but this new rule is not cool. It's not cool, Anna Zapp.
So alcohol, for the most part, is back, but there's a new change coming, which I don't think is a big deal at all. And when Raven brought it up to me yesterday, I thought he was going to burst into tears like a toddler, and I wasn't really sure how to handle it.
Well, I mean, it starts today, and they really didn't give us any warning or anything like that. There's going to be no second beverage service. It's terrible. I mean, the cart comes down one time, they come back like 2 seconds later to collect your trash, and then that's it. If you're flying from here to California or anything like that, like, you got problems. It's going to be long.
Okay. So the drink cart only going once is why you're so upset.
Yes. Yes, I'm upset.
I just don't understand, like, who, first of all, I find the cart to be the most annoying thing about a flight.
Oh, but
absolutely, it's so annoying. Like, everybody's got to move. You got to go around it. It creates blockage. It gets congested.
First off, nobody goes around it. All right, there's no getting up while the cart is in motion. If the cart is in the aisle, you ain't getting around that thing. You can't control your bladder for that. You know, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You got a big problem. You got to anticipate the cart coming out.
most of the options are like, what am I going to have? 3 ounces of a soda? Yes, I'll have 3 ounces of a Diet Coke. Thank you. Or do you want ice in your water? Oh, you mean that little tiny flimsy plastic cup that most likely the second you put it down on this tray is going to fly all over me and my children? Yeah, no, I'm good. You know, first of all, when you're in the airport, don't you bring a drink with you on the plane while you're waiting?
I'm always the person. Don't you grab a soda? I show up at the airport and I've always got the drink and then I've always got to throw it out in security. And then, of course, once you get into the airport, like a 20-ounce Coca-Cola is like $7. So I'm counting on you, American Airlines, to deliver me that half can of Coca-Cola. And a lot of times if you ask, they'll leave the can with you. But you're right. That little plastic cup is a bit of a trap. Like, why are we using the worst cups ever on a flight where there could be turbulence and stuff like that? Or people just trying to get by your tray? That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I'm with that.
Do they think that tiny little indention in the tray top is going to secure the flimsy plastic cup they've given you? I think that we could get rid of the beverage cart altogether.
No.
When you walk in, there's probably, let's say there's a bar cart when you walk in, right? There you got like soda cans. You've got some, you know, you could get like those little individual bottles of wine. You get it coming on. You make your selection getting on the plane and then you're good. Nobody's got to deal with the cart. It's a win-win.
A mini bar when you walk in, that's just your plan for everybody at this point.
Do you know that on the last flight I went on, they didn't have milk? With Dakota, my little one, all she wanted was milk. And it was a good thing that I had bought a gallon before I got on for $27.
What?
Because otherwise they would not have had milk. Yes, thank you. I'll have your 4 ounces of a coffee right now. Thank you. This coffee's disgusting.
Gosh, just talking about this makes me have a drink. Mm-hmm. Or want one anyways. Thank God that's back at least. Thanks, American.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Good news to share, huh?
Yes, so I actually just got engaged last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited. But honestly, like, I've been so overwhelmed. It's only been a week and I'm just super stressed. You know, people are asking me, when's our date? Where are we getting married? Mm. Like, you know, it's just like, I don't know. We just got engaged last week. Like, what am I supposed to, I don't know. I'm already like having thoughts of like, oh God, is this the right thing to do? I mean, we were only together for a year. Like, I didn't know this was going to happen. Like, I thought it was just going to be pure excitement.
That's true. As soon as you say you're engaged, I'd imagine that the people come on quick, right? They want to know when, how, everything about your backstory. What's your life going to be? When are you going to have kids? Like, huge questions that you would never rightfully ask an acquaintance or somebody else, you know, in general at any time. It would never be appropriate. But as soon as somebody says, I got engaged, everything's cool. You can ask anything you want.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a snowball. The first thing they say is, well, when are you going to get married? Mm-hmm. And it's the worst when you don't have a date yet. But then as soon as you get married, it's like, well, when are you going to have kids?
Right.
And it just goes on and on and
how
on.
How about you guys come up with something better to ask me, right? Yeah. Instead of, you know, putting pressure on my life.
Well I'm excited for you. Congratulations. How did he ask?
Oh, we were at our favorite restaurant. Honestly, I had no idea. He was like, told me that I dropped my earring. He saw my earring fall and I was like, what? And then so I'm like down on the ground on my knees looking for my earring, and there's the ring, and everyone in the restaurant was looking. It was like the most romantic thing ever. We kissed, everyone clapped. It was just, I mean, it was a dream, honestly. Like, it was perfect. So I don't know why I'm, like, freaking out about it.
Well, because you didn't know it was coming. I think that there's, like, two kinds of engagements. One where you're waiting for it, your nails are perfect, you've been having your manicure done every week for, like, 6 months in preparation for the event. You have a Pinterest page with all the venues and bands and flowers and bridesmaid dresses. But then there's the surprise when all of a sudden, like, you're happy and you're excited, but you don't know what to do.
Yeah, so that's exactly why I'm calling. Like, I need some advice, honestly. Like, where do I start? You know, like, how do I enjoy this instead of freak out about it? Mm.
Well, if you are thinking about getting married anytime soon, just based on how busy things are this year, next year, just after everything that's been going on, you got to find a spot. Like, you got to find the place and find your DJ right away. Like, those are two things you have to do. And a photographer right then, too.
I know Raven is very pushy on the DJ thing, but for me, I would say the most important thing is just book your venue.
I'm telling
you. Book your venue, set a date, and then everything else you can do as time goes on. But I think it's a great question. If you are newly engaged, what would be the advice you would give to somebody the first week that they got engaged? What do they do? Love this. a woman called, a listener, and she had just gotten engaged. She wasn't expecting to get engaged, which is even more fun. But she says she has no idea where to start. What advice do you have for somebody that just got engaged? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven?
I would definitely spend the money on food and alcohol. Because, honestly, nobody cares about flowers or anything, like decoration, flowers. No, who cares? People want food and alcohol so they can enjoy.
Okay. I mean, I agree. I do agree that the food and your alcohol is the most important thing, because that's what people talk about. The food was good. Was the food not good? But I am the person that takes home the centerpiece, always.
Yeah, but I mean, you took it home. The couple is on a plane the next day, and they spent $10,000 on flowers. And I'll tell you right now, there's always 5, 6, or 7 of them left around that people, they're begging people to take them at the end of the night. The people from the staff don't want them. They get a centerpiece every night of the week. They don't care.
My husband gets so mad after every single wedding. He's like, give him the puppy eyes. And the thing is, like, massive and, like, way too big. And then he's got to dump out the water before he puts it in the car. He's got to move everything out of the trunk to make it fit.
And they're dead in 3 days.
No. They're good for, like, a week usually. They're beautiful.
Whatever.
They've light up the house. Whatever.
I mean,
yeah. But I will agree. Like, don't do a cash bar. Like, never do a cash bar unless it's really an emergency and you have to. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a party killer. At least bring a keg.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the advice you have for a newly engaged couple?
Yeah, stop sending out all these paper invitations and paper save the dates and spending money on stamps. It's so outdated. It is not good for the environment. And you can just do it online. And it looks beautiful online. And it's faster. And you'll know immediately if somebody's coming or not coming.
Oh, you still got those RSVP draggers, but... But I think I tend to agree with that. I mean, paper invitations seem kind of yesterday, you know?
Oh, but not for weddings. I mean, I agree on the save the dates. Like, I don't think you need to send a save the date. Remember when everyone used to send the magnet save the dates? I feel like those are obsolete now. But I do think that sending the paper invitation, there's something really formal and nice and traditional about it for a
How
wedding.
How about you send that to your grandma, and you send that to your ma, and you send that to your aunt, and the rest of the people, you just send an email invite.
I got invited to a wedding that was just an email. It went to my spam folder. If I didn't know them, right? I found it.
Right. You made it to the wedding. I mean.
Well, it's true. I did make it to the wedding. I figured it out. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Advice for somebody that's recently engaged.
I would highly recommend getting a videographer and a good one at that. You know, my wife, back when we were getting married, she didn't want a videographer. She wanted to save money and just go with a photographer. And the photos turned out great, but I do wish we had actually captured the moment, you know, on video. Don't skimp on that.
That's great advice. When I see a story now, Anna, or hear about anything from somebody and there's no video attached, I think to myself, did this happen in 1950? Everything is on video nowadays. It's how we digest stuff. Nobody sits down and looks at a photo album, right? A couple pictures on your wall is great, but a video is much more likely to be viewed by visitors, friends, family, or people down the road of your day.
My best friend got married last month, and I was the matron of honor. And, you know, we did a lot of stuff together. But the day of the wedding, there's no videographer. And I was like, where's the videographer? She's like, we decided we didn't need one. And it made me sad that I didn't have that conversation with her earlier.
Right,
because
you would have done something about it. You would have advised her or at least had a friend ready to go with 4 different GoPro angles, you know?
When I look back, the people that aren't here anymore, like, you know, like the messages that they sent to see them dancing, like things like that. Like, I mean, it's priceless. There's no money you can put on that. Get the videographer.
Good advice.
So this came up yesterday. In your house, when you wake up in the morning, is your spouse home with you when you get up? Are your kids there? Who's in charge of making breakfast? Is there somebody that does it? Is it every man for himself? Tom Brady, you know, he's a lot of questions about whether he's going to retire or not. And he was giving an interview and he randomly said this.
I think now it's just some time to spend some time with my family and spend some time with, you know, my kids. And
hi.
It's my little angel. You know, get some time with her. We had waffles to go this morning, which is really nice.
Waffles does sound nice.
So Raven and I started talking about it because we were talking about the waffles. Because they're like, you think Giselle makes some waffles every morning?
No. I think there's like 3 different chefs, a couple personal trainers in there, and they're running things in the kitchen maybe. But, I don't know. Maybe she does.
Right. So we're thinking about it because oddly, because I had knee surgery, I'm broadcasting from home. I have to be home for 6 weeks, which I'm getting to the end of it, hopefully. But this is the first time I've ever been home in the morning. I'm never home in the morning. So I've got this little routine now, and my husband makes me breakfast every day and like makes me real breakfast. Like I get a, like a little ham, egg and cheese on a like an egg McMuffin. And Raven, you know, we're looking at each other through the Zoom right now. And like he's so jealous because that's not our real life. That's not what normally happens in the studio.
Well, I want to prepare you for when you return to the studio. Nobody is going to be bringing you in. I'm like, we're going to have to order delivery every single day when you first come back because you're going to be like, you'll be looking around hungry.
Yeah, I just keep thinking, like, what if this was normal life? Like, what if I was home every morning? Like, who would bring, would anybody bring me breakfast? So Raven was so sure. He's like, if I was home, Alicia, that's Raven's wife, would definitely, definitely bring me breakfast every day. So I said, go home and ask your wife, is that true?
So if I didn't have to wake up every morning, like if I was retired or if I was home, would you make me breakfast every day?
No, not every day. I'd make you breakfast sometimes, though.
I mean, you always talk about how your grandmother would make breakfast every single day.
No, no, no. It was my great-grandmother. This was a different time. And he wasn't home. She made him homemade from scratch breakfast every morning at 4 a.m. before he went to work. He used to make caskets.
So I guess that's my answer, is that that's not going to happen.
It's not. I was so shocked. I'm so upset still by it right now. You know what she told me after that? That she would also show up with his lunch to his work every day. I was like, did she trust this man?
Yeah.
I was like, did she have to be around him all the time? But yep, made him breakfast every single morning.
Yeah.
Surprise breakfast is great, I'll just say.
Yeah.
But let's say I was home, all right? And the first 4 days, you made me breakfast. On the fifth day, if you don't make the breakfast, I'm going to be really, really upset.
Well, she's just managing your expectations, Raven. And she wants you to know that there is no world, unless you build caskets and bury people, is she going to get you a bacon, egg, and cheese in the morning.
Or if I was Tom Brady or Giselle, I guess. Right.
Exactly. You see some weirdos on the highway. Let's be honest. When you're stuck in traffic or even if you're driving, you see some strange things and you're like, huh? What was the weirdo thing you saw on the highway? You could call or text 1-800-330-9999. One of our coworkers was saying how she got hit on in traffic. Like the guy was like, roll down your window and was, you know, hitting on her.
Well, you know, truckers, they've got that angle. They're up top, right? And they see and they can look right into your car.
So listen, true story. And he's probably listening, to be honest. A listener is friend with mine on Facebook, and he's a trucker. And one day, I was sitting in traffic, and like an hour later, I was checking my Facebook messages, and he recognized me and took pictures of my legs and like from the above angle because he was next to me in traffic and sent them to my Facebook messenger.
I mean, not for nothing. That's really creepy. I mean, seriously, even if that's the behavior you're doing, don't let people know you're doing that behavior. That's the thing about, you know, on the highway, Anna, everybody can get a license. There's no background check. If you can park in between these two lines, we'll give you that freedom. And so, you know, it gets a little bit risky.
I wasn't sure how to respond to that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, those
Thanks
are definitely my legs.
Listening.
Yeah. hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the weirdo thing you saw on the highway?
I don't know if it's weird at this point in our lifetime, but I did see somebody on the highway on a Zoom call with their laptop open. The laptop was on the dashboard and their camera was actually on.
While they were driving?
Yeah.
I mean, I've Zoomed in the car, but it's on the phone. So, I mean, it's basically like a FaceTime call. I'm regular. The laptop, that's an impressive signal they're getting. I mean, I don't have a stable enough signal anywhere between here and there.
Oh, I do. I use my laptop in the car, like on long road trips.
I mean, I've used it, but not while actually driving. So.
Well, isn't it weird if you're like, if it's like a corporate meeting and you're just like literally driving and somebody's watching you on Zoom? I've taken a lot of Zooms from the car, but I shut the video off. And like you said, it's on the phone. You just put it in the cup holder and you listen.
Is there anything worse than the meeting where the other person doesn't have their video on? You sign on and the other person, you're like, oh, I can hear you, but I can't see you. And they're like, yeah, we've got our video off. And I have to control my face from not contorting to saying terrible things about them or mouthing them. Because they can see me, but I can't see them. It's the rudest thing ever, I think.
No, it's a new thing. And we're not familiar with it because of what we do for a living. We don't do that many Zooms where we don't have our cameras on. We always have to have our cameras on for what we do. But I've noticed that in corporate America, they Zoom all day long in their meetings. And I peek into my husband because, you know, he works from home. None of them have their video.
Oh,
none of them.
No, nope.
It's just names or like the standard photo on all single. They do it all the time. Isn't that weird?
I'd be asleep. I'd 100% be asleep, which makes it twice as dangerous if I'm driving.
you see a lot of weirdo things on the highway. Sometimes you're stuck in traffic. Sometimes you're just zipping along. One of our coworkers was saying how she got hit on the other day while in traffic. I'm like, you see weird things happen all the time.
I'm telling you, there's no regulation when you get on the road. As long as they could park that vehicle halfway decent when they applied for their license. Are they even doing license tests at this point? Everybody's out there, Anna.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the weirdo thing you saw on the highway?
Well, I was stuck in traffic, and I was watching the guy next to me. I'm sure you've heard this a lot, but he was picking the oogie out of his nose.
Oh, yeah.
And then he saw me, and he proceeded to eat. He saw me staring at him, and it was really weird that he actually ate it.
He ate it while you were staring at him. Was he looking you in the eyes as you were looking at him?
It was just disgusting. It was so gross. Yeah. No, I kind of like, I turned my head fast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he stares you down while doing it, like, that person's a psychopath. Like,
that's a power move right there.
That person is a killer, right? They're a killer.
Yeah.
But in negotiations, they win at that point.
You're not
Thank
kidding.
You for the call.
Oh, man.
And Ann Raven, what's that crazy thing you saw on the highway?
A woman take off her bra.
Oh,
how long
were
you
crazy?
In traffic? While you're in traffic, though, I could get it. Like, if your bra's too tight and you've been sitting there for, like, a half hour, that thing's coming off.
Yeah.
Were you actually in motion or were you stopped in traffic?
Stopped in traffic.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, in motion. Like, I mean, she gets points for that. I mean, if she's not swerving, like, that takes a certain amount of talent, right? I mean, I've never worn a bra.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've tried to get a couple unhooked in my lifetime. And so, you know, there's some difficulty. And Ann Raven, what's that crazy thing you saw on the highway?
A dead deer.
Anna exploded a deer once.
Well, that wasn't my fault. That deer, like, just jumped in front of my car out of nowhere. And that was sad.
We don't know. I mean, it might have been the deer's time. I mean, maybe the deer was waiting for you and you helped the deer. But I mean, it physically exploded.
I did not help the deer.
No, and that deer did
not help my brand new Jeep. That was for sure. That was basically totaled a brand new car. Hi, it's Ann and Raven. What weirdo things you see on the highway?
Oh, my gosh. This trucker was taking pictures of me and my girlfriend. We were in our 20s.
No, there's always the creeps.
The creep.
I mean, it does sound creepy. Nobody would pay attention at all to two hot young ladies hanging up the T-tops of a Firebird in 1983.
Right.
You're right. That does sound outlandish. And like every movie I watched in the 80s. Right. Thank you for the call.
Exactly.
Anna and Raven, weirdo thing you saw on the highway.
I saw a white van. It had windows. I looked through, and I'm going, what is moving back there? What is that thing? And there were cars to the left of me and to the right of me who are also kind of pulling back, seeing the same thing. It was a tiger walking around the back of a van. There's a zoo further out east from me, so that's the only conclusion I can come up with is that they were transporting this animal, but it was moving in the back, and
it really
freaked me out. It was very, very strange.
It's so funny. The look that Raven gave me the minute you said white van, we were like, here we go.
I knew where you were going.
Don't take candy. Don't take candy from anybody in that white van.
Right.
Yeah.
Anna asserts that every white van is actually used for kidnapping. That's
100%. Everybody knows that.
Right. Every true crime, right? Yeah. Exactly.
The weirdo thing that you saw happen when you were on the highway, whether you were stuck in traffic or just driving, 1-800-330-9999. Somebody texted, passenger keeling out the window, getting sick. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I may have been driving that car. I feel like I think we've all been there. The one friend that's car sick or they had too much the night before or with all that. Oh, without fail.
Yeah, you try and pull over the first few times. Then after that, sooner or later, there's going to be an instance.
Yeah, I have one friend that, like, whenever we have long car trips, we have to bring the Tupperware container. It's disgusting.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I want it all out and gone and never seen again. I'd never be able to use that Tupperware. She gets car sick.
Like, what are we going to do? It's not her fault.
Like a Cocker Spaniel or something.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Weirdo thing you saw on the highway.
Hi. We were driving near a car that had two kayaks on the top, and one of them got wiggly. And then the other one got wiggly, and then they both flew off like rockets off the back of the car. And somebody in a really nice, like, BMW swerved around them, and they just crashed onto the highway. And I just couldn't stop thinking, there's got to be someone in the passenger seat of that car saying, I told you they weren't tied
down. You're right.
It's a wife, and she's mad. She called it.
Yeah,
100%.
Exactly.
I have a friend who loves kayaking, and he used to tie his kayak to the top of his, like, It was like a Dodge or a Chrysler, like a car, and it had no rack on top. He would put like some cardboard boxes in between the kayak and his car and tie it down with twine, and I'd be like, man, this just doesn't feel right. When he'd be like, well, I'm gonna follow you up to the campsite, I'd be like, oh gosh, at least you're behind me, man.
And just think about a kayak is like a spear that you're throwing
right
through the air.
Right, yeah. If you're the car behind, oh, man, yeah, you better be paying attention.
Nobody's insurance is gonna cover that. I mean,
right. So wait a minute, sir. So you were in the river? No, I wasn't in the river.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your highway weirdo story? What did you see?
So I saw a guy driving a pickup, like a flatbed, and there was an inflatable pool in the back with two guys and a girl hanging out in the swimming pool.
That's a redneck hot tub, man. Come on. Was it calling like that was actually a thing you saw? Of course you saw that. I mean, come on.
You hit a bump. That water goes flying all over the place.
We just used to do a tarp in the back of the pickup truck. You got some friends from out in the country. You're going to see some of these things. That's all I'm saying. Maine? That's how you roll
around
the pool.
Okay, I thought it was unusual.
No, I would
definitely also think it's unusual.
Oh, no.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What'd you see on the highway?
Yeah, pretty recently saw a clown driving on the highway. And he looked really sad, so I gave him a wave and a smile, and he gave me the finger.
Like a real clown? Like he had the red nose and the makeup on? Or
yeah, he was either going to a job or has a problem.
Check the basement.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your highway weirdo story?
Okay, there was a guy sitting in traffic, and he was eating one of those, like, deli sandwiches. And just all of a sudden, he, like, took the deli meat out of the sandwich and just stuck it on his face and just stared at me.
What a weirdo.
So weird.
That's what you get for staring.
What a weirdo.
How do you like this? Meat man says, look away. Look away now.
I feel like a piece of ham would stick good to your face, but a slice of turkey would probably slide right off.
No,
right?
It all feels gross on the face, though. It all feels gross on the face.
The salami, if it's sweating just a little bit, it'll slide slowly off to the left side of your face.
You're going
to
smell it for the next 3 days. I don't care how many times you shower.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Denise and Tom. Denise, what's going on?
Tom, my husband, I love very much. He's kind of like a rock and roll guy. He's got a lot of tattoos. They're super sexy. Couple sleeves and kind of on his neck, not really that you would see with a collared shirt buttoned up. He thinks that he should just all of a sudden show up to work. He has a corporate job in a short sleeve shirt when normally he like wears a long sleeve shirt and, you know, has to wear a tie and stuff. So you literally can't see any of his tattoos when he's dressed for work. He thinks that it's okay to just show up to work one day. He's still going in 3 days a week in a short sleeve shirt, and it won't cause any issues, and he shouldn't maybe run it by his boss first.
So you want him to ask his boss for permission to wear a short sleeve shirt to work?
I want him to give his boss a heads up, because I don't think his boss knows this about him. And from what, I mean, I'm outside the situation a little, obviously, but from what I can see, they're a pretty, like, conservative place culture-wise, you know what I mean? Like, so just, like, run it by his boss in a friendly way, like, hey, I've been considering wearing short-sleeve shirts, but I've got a couple sleeves of tattoos. How do you think that'll go over? Just, like, to run it by him first. Like, why rock the boat?
Tom, what's going on?
I think this is absurd. I think that we've gotten past this in society at this point. I see more and more people with tattoos at different jobs that you wouldn't normally see people with tattoos 20 years ago. But now it's so much more accepted. I don't really think I should have to ask anybody to wear a polo at work. Other people wear polos. I'm sure people will ask questions, but I think that society has gone well beyond terminating people because they have tattoos.
If you've ever had any problems at work or whatever, I would imagine termination is going to be the first step anyways if somebody doesn't like the fact that you've got a tattoo image. And let me ask, the first question is, anything offensive, truly offensive out on your arms or whatever invisible area that it's going to be exposed if you're wearing a polo?
I think that's subjective, but many of my tattoos should not be offensive to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone might find that the Tasmanian devil offensive, but I have one of those tattoos too.
Listen, I think you're right. The wall is down.
Yeah, all that is fine. I also see Denise's point, like, what's the big deal of just running it by your boss if it's a very conservative environment and being like, hey, I know this is crazy, but it would just make me feel better. I almost think, like, it makes you look more responsible, to be honest. I don't know why you're fighting just sending your boss a quick email or, like, next time you're on a Zoom together or a meeting, just be like, hey, is this cool? Is that all right?
I say performance reigns, man. That's me.
Yeah, performance reigns. I'm good at my job. I'm great at my job. I've even gotten, you know, last year I got a raise and a promotion, you know.
I think there's also a missing piece here. Yes, you have a Tasmanian devil, but you also have some very scantily clad ladies on your sleeves that might cause some issues.
Oh, that's a different story.
Oh, a couple classic pinups.
Would you tell Michelangelo to cover up the Venus de Milo?
No, and I wouldn't tell Sailor Jerry either. I would not.
No.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Let's see what the audience says, because they may agree with you, Tom. It's your art, it's your work. If it doesn't impact your performance at work, why would you ask your boss for permission? But they may see Denise's side, too, that especially in a situation where maybe some of these tattoos may be a little red flag, maybe having the conversation with your boss before is just smart and good planning.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Tom works in a corporate environment and has full sleeve tattoos. He's always buttoned up, always has, like all the way up, all the way down. None of his coworkers even knows he has tattoos. But he said, you know what? That's dumb. Why do I even do that? From now on, I'm going to wear polos when I feel like wearing polos. But his wife, Denise, says, well, you need to ask the boss first. You need to send an email. You need to make sure that's okay before you do that.
Tom doesn't really think so. He says other people wear tattoos. They've got polos that they're wearing here in the office, and they have tattoos, too. I mean, I might have a few more than them, but what's really the big deal? I'm good at my job. There's nothing against this. Why wouldn't I do it?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Hi, I'm on the wife's side because there are always rules at work, and I work in the medical field, and no matter how great I am in the ER, I have to cover up my tattoos.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some rules in certain places that I just don't understand what the big deal is. It's just showing a little respect and saying, hey, is this cool?
Where's the respect for him? I mean, that's the thing, is all these old school mentalities of where is the respect for the individual? I mean, I happen to think, actually, when I walk into a place and somebody's got tattoos or piercings or whatever, I think to myself, how good for them that their boss is, you know, aware of what the real world is like right now. I was just at the ER last week. There was plenty of people there with tattoos that were working there, but I guess your hospital policy is different.
Yeah, but of course it depends on the place.
We have to cover up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know. They're not doing it at my place, I can tell you that.
I don't know. What do you think about this? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. I just want to say, I don't think there's anything wrong with having tattoos.
Oh, look at you.
I mean, I have tattoos.
Look at you now doing the disclaimer thing here.
Well, I'm just saying, I understand, like, I have tattoos myself, but I do understand working in a corporate environment is, you know, it's got rules. So when Tom says that he's had full arm sleeve tattoos, he always is always buttoned up. He goes to the office. Nobody ever sees his tattoos. And all of a sudden now he decides, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to wear short sleeve shirts. And his wife says, well, you know, maybe you should just drop your boss an email and make sure that's cool before you do that. I don't see what the big deal is. I don't know why he's fighting it so hard, being like, I do what I want.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I think that it comes down to basically how it makes you feel, right? I mean, he's got great job performance. He got a raise. He got a promotion last year. There's other people in the office that wear polo shirts that have tattoos. Why is it that he needs to ask some sort of permission or whatever? This is a grown man who's good at his job, who has tattoos, who's not doing anything to offend anybody. I mean, in today's world especially, I find it very, I would be very hesitant to oppress anybody's views or expressions in any way, shape, or form if I was a boss. That's just me. And how do you change the mentality if you continue to kowtow to the way it's been always for all these other years? That's what I would say.
No, and I agree. And if I was a manager and somebody came to me, I'd be like, absolutely. But there is a sense of respect of asking first. Mm. But maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? Do you think he should go to his boss before he just starts doing it? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
On the wife, I want to agree with him, but I think there's no harm in doing a temperature check of the culture there. And some people sometimes people don't do well with surprises. Never know.
Yeah. My only problem with that is what if they say no? And you've got other people that have been walking around the office that have tattoos, and now you feel like the guy that's been prejudged before you even put them out. That's only my fault.
Yeah.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I think that even though it's not fireable, that people will still, there's people that still look at tattoos, especially if there's women on there, like he said, and there are, it might keep him down, it might keep him from further promotions, and I think that I'm totally on her side.
And I agree with all of this. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
You're exactly the boss I don't want to work for, then.
I'm actually on the husband's side. Is he violating any company policy? If he violates company policy, then there's no argument.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Denise, our audience agrees with you. Tom, if you respect your job and you respect the people you work for and you respect your boss, there's no harm in just having a conversation with him before you do it.
Well, I have a bone to pick with your audience, but I'll do what they say.
Honestly, it sounds crazy to me that over all this time, they're not clued into the fact that you have a single tattoo. If I see somebody with a long sleeve shirt and I see an inkling, one little piece of ink that pops out from the bottom of their sleeves or around the neckline, I fully believe that they have a sleeve. I fully believe that they have a back piece or whatever it may be. But maybe I'm alone on this one. And I guess maybe it's not the worst idea. I'm with you, though, Tom. Seems uptight to me. I mean, if you're good at your job, I would have just came in, but whatever.
Aces.
Well, I'm relieved and glad that they were on my side. So thank you, listeners.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
I'm just imagining you wearing a sweater to the barbecue during the summer. Like, that's just weird, man.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $1,500 thanks to Discover Card. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Hey, Nancy.
Hi.
Ready to play?
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're great. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room? No cheating.
Sure. Good luck, Nancy.
You too.
So Raven's walking out of the studio. When we hear that door close, he's going to be outside. That means he can't hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Bring him back in. Ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Sure.
All right, number 1, the Grateful Dead are teaming up with Care Bears for some new merchandise. There were originally 10 Care Bears. Which symbol did Cheer Bear have on her tummy?
Cheer Bear have on her tummy. I guess a,
Time's
oh God,
up,
one
Nancy.
Of those things.
You gotta be
Sorry.
Quicker. Number 2, The Rock is making another movie based on a video game, but he won't reveal which one. He's already been in Rampage, Jumanji, which is based on a game, and what third movie from 2005 where he plays Sarge, a space marine?
I have no idea.
Number 3, China changed the ending of Fight Club so the bad guys didn't win. What is the first rule of Fight Club?
Don't talk about Fight Club.
Number 4, Amy Schneider's historic Jeopardy run has come to an end after she lost last night. Who was hosting?
No idea.
And number 5, Eric LaSalle and Gloria Rubin are re-teaming up for a Hallmark movie. They famously worked together on what iconic medical drama?
ER.
Okay, great. Let's bring Raven back in.
Too right. Yay!
You rebounded. You rebounded.
You.
All right. So, Raven, Nancy got 2 out of 5.
Not so good. Let's see how I do, Nancy. Maybe
not
they're tricky.
Good.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Number 1, the Grateful Dead are teaming up with Care Bears for some new merchandise. There were originally 10 Care Bears. Which symbol did Cheer Bear have on her tummy?
I'm going to go with rainbow.
Rainbow is correct.
Dad worked at Coleco. Take that.
Number 2, The Rock is making another movie based on a video game, but he won't reveal which one. He's already been in Rampage, Jumanji, which is based on a game, and what third from 2005 where he plays Sarge, a space marine?
That's got to be Doom.
Yes. Number 3, China changed the ending of Fight Club so the bad guys didn't win. What is the first rule of Fight Club?
Don't talk about Fight Club.
That is right. Number 4, Amy Schneider's historic Jeopardy run has come to an end after she lost last night. Who was hosting?
Ken Jennings is the host right now.
Yes. And number 5, Eric LaSalle and Gloria Rubin are re-teaming up for a Hallmark movie. They famously worked together on what iconic medical drama?
They were on ER.
Raven, you just beat Nancy 5-2 today. Nancy, I'm sorry. We're going to hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Awesome. Thank you. I cannot beat anybody and Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Nancy. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,600 tomorrow. Anna, you might not know this, but I have a friend who's 6'4", and he has an unnatural obsession with the Care Bears. That's part of how I know it. That's right.
I couldn't say cheer bear five times fast. It was bothering me. I was practicing all morning.
It's hard to say.